In today's world, there are quite a lot of people who try things just for the excitement and thrill of it, to test their amount of fear, all for the adrenaline rush, from bungee jumping to driving at excessive speeds, and then some, purely to test and experience fear firsthand. So what about the fear of the unknown? Is anyone here familiar with that one? What will tomorrow bring? It might be labeled as anxiety, worry, angst, or even apprehension. All of those are just names for fear. Fear can be so bad that when it gets a hold of you, it can practically immobilize you and freeze you in your tracks. There's only one real answer to fear, and that is courage. Courage answers the question, are you pretending to be a lion or a mouse? Courage is a remarkable thing. Doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Instead, it means that somehow you get past it, and then you do the job that you were called to do. Three times in today's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples and us not to fear, not to be afraid. Jesus' point from the three repetitions of his command not to fear is pretty clear. Number one, in verse 26, he says, so do not be afraid of them. In verse 28, he says, so do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And in verse 31, Jesus says, so don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Jesus' aim here is to help us to overcome fear and to instill courage in us. So let me ask you, the courage to do what? To speak clearly, in the light and openly, as he said, on the rooftops, on the housetops. And that could be having lunch at work, in public transportation, in an airport, on the line at Harvey's or Walmart, or God willing, one day, Publix, or maybe even in a restaurant, when that kind of speaking might get you in trouble. Heaven forbid, we are not politically correct. We should not be afraid to speak clearly and openly what Jesus Christ has taught you, no matter what the cost. After all, Jesus is not ashamed of you, and we have absolutely no reason to be ashamed of him. Let me be more precise. Be courageous to speak the truth of Scripture clearly and openly for all to hear, even if it's unpopular and dangerous. It's crunch time, my friends. Are you a lion or a mouse? When I think of the word courage, I can't help but think of the cowardly lion from the movie The Wizard of Oz. Bert Lahr played that character to the hilt. If he only had the nerve, he would be king of the forest. We're shown that through his courage, along with Tin Man, Scarecrow, and yes, even Little Toto too, he saves Dorothy from the Wicked Witch of the West. That lion had the courage all along, God-given, if you will. And when he realized the truth, he finally did take his place as a real hero, complete with metal and all, the king of the forest, all because of that truth. Jesus, who in Scripture is called the Lion of Judah, gives us five reasons why we should have the courage to speak the truth with the courage of a lion. I'm going to ask you to please open your pew Bibles to page 1515, Matthew chapter 10, to follow along as I refer to today's Holy Gospel. First, notice the so at the beginning of verse 26, when Jesus says, so do not be afraid of them. Some translations use the word therefore. In other words, fearlessness flows from what Jesus just said in verse 24, namely, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. And so we must have no fear of them. Does that help to make you fearless? Well, it should. If Jesus as the master of the house is verbally disrespected and torn down, then we as his followers, and here Jesus is actually calling us family, members of his household, we can expect the same treatment. I believe that what Jesus is saying to us is this: any mistreatment for speaking the truth clearly and openly is not to be some unexpected, accidental, random, or meaningless experience. It's just the way they treated me. And so it's a sign that you belong to me. You're a part of my household, Jesus says. So don't be afraid of the names they call you. And when you speak out plainly, those very names bind you and me together. Second, notice the words, "there is nothing," in the middle of verse 26. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. This is big. This is huge. This assures us that the truth we're speaking will triumph. It will be vindicated in the end. People may reject it now, and they may call it the word of Beelzebub, not or the devil, like in today's gospel. They may cast it and you out, or they may try to bury it and hide it from the world and pretend that it doesn't exist. But Jesus gives us great comfort and certainty by telling us to take heart in the cause of truth. Because in the end, all truth will be revealed. All reality will be uncovered. And those who spoke it with clarity and openness will be vindicated. Do not fear. And third, in verse 28, Jesus tells us not to fear. After all, you can only be killed. Well, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. This might not sound like good news, but wait a minute. In other words, the worst thing your enemies can do to you when you speak the truth is to kill your body. What's the worst thing? You'd be with Jesus. And that leaves your soul untouched and happy in God forever and ever. But if you keep silent, if you walk away from the truth and fall in love with the praise of other men, you could lose your very soul. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what you ought to fear. But don't fear what man can do to you. All another human can do is send your soul to paradise. So fear not. It's important to know that throughout Scripture, God keeps reminding us to have courage. What did the angels say to the shepherds? Fear not. God keeps reminding us to have courage. As a matter of fact, he says fear not 165 times. He tells us to not be afraid 114 times. Do not fear 138 times. You think by now we'd get the message. Jesus' fourth reason: don't fear to speak the truth, but be courageous and speak clearly and openly, because God is giving close and intimate attention to all you do. Attention more closely than you can even imagine. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we love and serve a God of detail. Remember that it's God who told Moses all of the details of the Ark of the Covenant and for the tent of the meeting. Intricate details. Remember what he told Noah: you're going to build the ark this many cubits by that many cubits. Incredible, intricate details. And Jesus tells us even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The suffering you may undergo in speaking the truth is not because God's disinterested in you or unfamiliar with your troubles. He's close enough to you that he can separate one hair from another and give each one a number. And if you look around the room, all of us have different numbers. Don't be afraid. Fear not. He's close. He's interested. He cares. Be of good courage and speak the truth, no matter what. It's amazing. We look back on the history of this church, back to 2013. And because this parish, this congregation, was unafraid to speak the truth, We're here today, and we're growing spiritually. The fifth thing Jesus says, and finally, he says, we should fear not, because God will not let anything happen to you apart from his gracious will. Jesus' logic is plain and precious. And so we need to look at verse 31. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Wow. And now, peek back at 29. About the sparrows. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. I don't know about you, but that fills me with courage. I have to think about the fact that birds don't do anything for to earn a living. They just go and enjoy what's there in front of them. God's gracious will. No harm is going to befall you, but what God mercifully wills. And I pray each and every day to be in and to do God's will, knowing that God cares, even down to the number of hairs on my head. He cares that I will spend eternity with him. He cares enough to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And if we remember that the ultimate victory has already been won, then we can claim the peace of Jesus Christ even in the most troublesome of times. And this absolutely fills me with courage. Now the me and the my goes for the we and the our as well, meaning believers. Being in relationship with Jesus Christ as a part of his family should fill us with the desire to do one thing, to tell others about him, to the point of overflowing. I'm very, very proud of George Blanfield. God gave him the courage last Thursday to go and speak to the senior citizens, the seniors, at their luncheon over in the town center, the Ware Center. And what did he speak of? Heaven. Speaking to those folks about heaven is for real. And God spoke to him that the person who was supposed to be doing the program for the Kiwanis Club this coming Tuesday night couldn't be there suddenly, a death in the family. And so George is going to step up again, and he's going to share God's word. How awesome is that? It's amazing. Telling others about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his promise for eternal life, that's spreading the good news. And that good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can spread the gospel not only through the things we say, but how who we are and how we treat others. And so I have a very important question for everybody here this morning. Who are you when no one's looking? Think about that. You don't have to say anything. But who are you when nobody's around? Are you the same person that you are on Sunday morning? Are you the same person behind the wheel of the car? Are you the same person when you're all alone on your computer? Think about it. Who are you when no one's looking? If you are not being consistent, there's one thing you can do, and that's ask Jesus to help you. He cares. He's there. There's nothing that we do that he doesn't see. So don't be ashamed. He's not ashamed of you. He loves you. When we acknowledge Jesus to others, then he acknowledges us to the Father. No matter what others say, we must love the truth. And the truth is, in Jesus Christ, he tells us, what you learn of Christ in private, you're to speak in the light in public. What you hear in the scriptures, proclaim from the rooftops, and do not fear the face of anyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.